Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The 460th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by BetRivers. Claim your risk-free bet of up to $500 over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BetRivers. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BetRivers. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 460. As you race towards episode 500, we're going to have, I don't know, we're probably going to have a normal episode. Maybe we'll cover Samurai Fight House or Happy Elephant or something special for that episode. But anyhow, episode 460 goes out to one of our friends in the Discord. Have we spoke to this gentleman before, Mr. 405? We may have spoken with him before, but anyhow, he listened to us very, very much often, very much, very muchly, very often, a lot. He listened to us a lot in 2023, according to Spotify. He's a top 4% fan of us. He's listened to us for 2,584 minutes, and then he switched to watching us on YouTube. So Mr. 405 needs to get a life, first of all, but we appreciate you listening. He's got an OKC logo, and 405 is the Oklahoma City area code. So we have a fan in Oklahoma City. Mr. Gumby. Let's bring in Gumby so he can thank 405 as well. Hello, Gumby Vreeland.
And I already knew 405 was Oklahoma City. My dad used to live down there when he was in welding school. There's a fun fact.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So shout out to Oklahoma City and your newly excited, not newly exciting basketball team. They were fun last year, right? They just weren't as good last year.
Because they have a Canadian leading the way.
Is it the Canadian that makes it more fun? Or is it the big gangly Gonzaga grad?
Big weird guy.
Yeah, the gangly Gonzaga grad does it all. So, shout out to 405. And if you guys would like to win some merch from the SGPN MMA Gambling Podcast, get those Spotify end-of-the-year wrap-ups and do us a favor. Tag us in it on Twitter. So if you've got a Twitter, hopefully you've got a Twitter. If you've got a Twitter, post those little pictures there, tag us at SGPN MMA. We'll pick one random person who tags us in those end of the year wrap ups, and we'll give them some free stuff. So make sure that you do that sometime before, I don't know, before Christmas, probably before Christmas.
Sure, whatever. Yeah. We feel like we never put an end date on these ever, do we?
No, by the way, we did give away the sweatshirt for people who are wondering. Good. Sweatshirt did get given away. I realized we never announced that on there. Friend of the show, Eric Does Sports, was the lucky random winner on that one.
Nice. Very good. Very good. Well, we're so generous. Yeah. Our Discord is full of Taylor Swift talk right now, which is very something I would not have expected to happen, but apparently our friend Dredd needs an 11-year-old girl secretly, and he loves Taylor Swift.
She's infiltrating all of the sports, huh? Like I'm sure they talk about her on the NFL gambling podcast.
I bet. Yep.
Yeah, because the games with her and Travis Kelce seemingly is much better. And now here we are in MMA. I don't expect to see her cage side anytime soon, but we're talking about her.
And my son tried to a few months ago try to argue with me that she wasn't the biggest star in the world. And right after he said that, she got even bigger. I think he was trying to argue. I can't remember. He was arguing Beyonce maybe, but no.
Kid,
13-year-olds don't have their finger on the pulse like we do, us old people.
Yeah, I guess I'm maybe not the one who should be making these arguments, but to be fair, I think you're right.
Yeah, exactly. But who am I to say? We got some UFC to talk about, and I think we may have some different picks than one another this week, perhaps. I'm not solid on a lot of my picks. I mean, this was a hard one for me to make picks on. I'm not sure if that's I'll let you speak on it as well, but yeah, a lot of interesting lines, a lot of lines that surprised me. And I had a lot of question marks beside my picks, and I had it, which means I have to like do a deeper dive into much more than I normally do. So I did deeper dives, and I came up with my picks. Most of them solidified, some of them tentative. You may sway me here or there. How about you?
I'm pretty steady on all my picks. It did take me a second to think about it, because it was like one of those fight cards where when I looked at it, I was like, oh yeah, that guy sucks. And then I looked at the guy they were fighting, and I was like,
yes,
do they suck worse than that guy?
He sucks too. Yes.
Yeah. And not necessarily like, okay, not necessarily like, are they both shitty, but like, which one has a flaw that the other one will exploit more obviously? And that was like a weird question on a lot of these fights. So I think I wound up with a lot of good value on this card though. So it's going to be fun for you listeners. Let's just leave it at that.
There's at least three of those fights on the prelims, I think, where both
fighters like this guy, and sucks is the wrong word. I feel bad about saying that now that I've said it, because like some of them I've interviewed and I like them very much as people.
Blows they, right?
No, they have very clear and evident flaws in what they have been doing in the UFC thus far, and you have to ask yourself if the other person has worse or more exploitable flaws than that person.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll be asking such questions as we get into this UFC and ESPN Dariush versus Sarukian, aka UFC Austin. It's not a UFC fight. It's not a UFC Apex card. Excuse me. It is a fight night card, but so we actually have some decent fights on it. More than one fight. Usually, if it's an Apex card, you got one fight on the top, which is usually pretty good. Sometimes it's a middleweight fight, so it's not good. And then the rest of the card's kind of just for weirdos like us and our friends in the Discord. But
That's next week.
Yeah. This card's got a few. Song versus Gutierrez, he refers to. This fight's actually got names that casual fans would probably recognize. Even casual fans from 20 years ago would recognize.
Yeah, that's very true.
For at least one. Misha Tate's been around a while too. I was going to say Clay Guida, but yeah, Misha's been around a while as well. We have some pioneers on this card, do we not?
Yeah, I mean, the oldest people who are still kicking around the UFC, some of them are on this one.
Yep. Misha Tate, 2007 was her first fight. So yeah, and Clay Guida, even longer than that, as we'll get into tomorrow's episode. Clay Guida, 2003. So, yeah, some interesting. Yeah, like Gumby said, it's we got some interesting matchups that you think, oh, I'm never picking this guy to win, and then you, then I go to the other side and like, oh yeah, they're fighting that person. Either I don't even remember this person, or oh yeah, this person's really bad. They're still in the UFC, really? Are you sure? Anyhow, so that's UFC. I'll set you up. I'll tell you about our new sponsor, and then we'll start breaking down the prelim fights today. This is UFC on ESPN, Dariush versus Sarukian, aka UFC Austin. Like I said, December 2nd, the Moody Center in Austin, Texas. Ever been to Austin, Gumby?
I think I have. I'm trying to remember exactly what parts of Texas I've been to. Okay. I know Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth. I'm not sure I've ever been to Austin, so I'm gonna say no on that one.
December the 2nd is when it's going down. That would be this Saturday. We have got a 13-fight card split about half and half. We got seven of them on this portion of it. Prelims on ESPN Plus. What is the start time? I forgot to check. Is this – I think it's a bit
early. I think I saw 4 p.m. was the
start. Yeah. 4 p.m. is for the prelims and then 7 for the main card. Does that sound right?
Yep.
Okay. That's what I thought too. All right. We're going to kick off with some picks. But first, I'm going to tell you about our new sponsor. I don't think we spoke about them last episode, have we? No. Bet Rivers. We're brought to you today by Bet Rivers. Bet Rivers is available in over 14 states plus Ontario, Canada, where I am. So I can use Bet Rivers as well. Bet Rivers has some of the best live betting markets in the space. Their betting menu is second to none, including a ton of props. Depositing and withdrawing is super easy on BetRivers. What's your BetRivers play of the day, Gumby? Put you on the spot again.
Oh, man, you're killing me on that one. Let's just say, because we were talking about our guy 405, just take the Thunder again. Always take the Thunder.
Yeah. Yes. Who are the Thunder? Take the Thunder regardless of when they're playing next. they just played last night and lost, I believe. Thunder are not playing tonight. I think they're playing Thursday. Yes, Lakers. They're playing on Thursday.
Oh, so then definitely home. Definitely take the Thunder.
What do you think the line of that game is going to be, Gumby?
The Thunder versus Lakers line. I mean, I guess it depends. You're probably going to have to wait until you find out whether or not LeBron or Davis is sitting out, because they both sit out pretty frequently. Yes. But I'd take the OKC as like -5 favorites.
Wow. I think you're getting better than that. So, but fantastic. There you go. Hopefully Bet Rivers, it gets you a better line than that. So go over to Bet Rivers, sign up using our link to get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BetRivers, BETRIVERS. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BetRivers. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay. Every time I say gambler, it reminds me of The Simpsons where Marge became a gambleholic. Remember?
You have a gambling problem.
Yes. And Homer says, Homer was explaining to the kids that she got taken over by a monster named Gambler. That's what makes me think of it. Because it's just like Gambler. It is. Homer is pretty, pretty good. All right, let's start off with some fights, shall we? These are the prelims, ESPN Plus. I would say TSN in Canada, but the first few fights are usually not on TSN. TSN starts about an hour after the telecast starts. So us Canadians have to watch Fight Pass for the first few fights, including this one, women's flyweight, Veronica Hardy, knee Veronica Machado versus Jamie Lynn Horth. I think Wessels, or she's got another name too, does she not?
I think she used to, I want to say she was married and she was Jamie Lynn Horth Wessels, and now she is not married anymore. So okay. I don't think there's any Wessels anymore.
Right. I think we talked about that already, and I apologize for bringing that up again, Jamie Lynn, because for sure you're listening. All right. Hardy, we'll tell you about first. As far as I know, she's still married. Last I checked. Veronica Hardy, 7-4-1, one knockout, two submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted once, 2-4 in the UFC, win, loss, win. She came back after quite a long layoff and won her last fight against one of the best fighters the UFC has seen in quite a while, right?
Yeah, she's great.
we don't need to say her name. She used to fight up at bantamweight, 5 years younger than Horth. She's been outstruck in the UFC by 1.03 strikes per minute. Not a good thing to be having happen to you. She has better grappling stats than Horth, but Horth only has one fight for us to have stats for. And she, Hardy's at +143. Horth, a Canadian. I forgot to mention that. She is a Canadian, and she is undefeated. 6-0, three knockouts, two submissions. She owes us rounds, Gumby.
She owes us rounds.
It's still funny. I haven't used it for a while, but it's still funny. 1-0 in the UFC. Surprise. I think you picked her in the – didn't you pick her in her debut, and I went against her?
You did. You took the It Girl.
Yes. Oh, yes. I took the It Girl instead of the Canadian, and the Canadian ended up being the It Girl, if that makes sense. All right, Horth, you used to fight up at bantamweight. As in last fight, she fought up at bantamweight. That was a short notice fight, up a weight class, and she still won, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Fantastic. If she has a mantle, probably she does. Canadians need fireplaces, so we have mantles. She's an LFA champion on her mantle and a regional championship belt on her mantle. 3 inches taller than Hardy, 2 inches of reach on her, better striking stats, more active landing strikes, and she outstruck the It Girl by 0.87 strikes per minute, and she's at -180. Go ahead.
I'm going with Jamie Lynn Horth. I'm a little bit bummed that the line has kind of gotten out of hand. If you were like three or 4 days ago, this was like almost a pick 'em. So I think people finally figured it out and are on Jamie Lynn Horth here. Veronica already looked really good in her last fight. You can't take that away from her, especially coming off of a 3-year layoff. But again, she fought Juliana Miller. I don't know how much stock you can put in that and how much faith you can give in her based on the fact that she was fighting Juliana Miller. On the other hand, Jamie Lynn Horth, like you said, fought up a weight class against a very, you know, like even if you don't think Hayley Cowan is all that good, she's very physically strong, right? Like she is a built bantamweight. And Jamie Lynn Horth dealt with that size quite well. She actually wound up being the one who was doing a lot of the bullying in that fight. So then you're going to drop her down to her actual weight class where she is going to be one of the more physically strong flyweights, right? She's going to be like a Lauren Murphy type down at flyweight where she can absolutely body people around. And Veronica Hardy has kind of been pushed around by anybody not named Juliana Miller. You know, like even her last win, you mentioned she's 2-1 in her last three. She submitted Poliana Viana. And it was Poliana Viana just took her down almost at will, and she armbarred her off of her back, which, like, good for you for having an armbar off your back, but she was in a bad position. And other than that, she wasn't winning at all in the UFC. and, you know, huge layoff, fought somebody who like really didn't pull the skills out of her. I think Jamie Lynn Horth just manhandles her here, puts her on her back as much as she wants to, puts her up against the cage, probably looks a touch better striking, but if she doesn't, she's got the outlets to change the avenue. So yeah, I'm going Jamie Lynn Horth here.
Yep. Horth is my pick as well. Not a fan of the line. As you said, it got worse even from when I did the breakdown like a day or two ago to now, like quite worse, but she's a pick. Everything got me said. Bigger fighter, looked really good in her last fight as well. So can't sneeze at that. So now that I picked a Canadian, she's bound to get her first career loss. So no Canadians in the next fight. We got welterweights, Wellington Turman, Jared Gooden. This was one of those fights, Gumby, like, oh, I'm not picking Wellington Turman. And then I'm like, oh yeah, wait a minute. He's fighting Jared Gooden.
It's not Jared Gordon.
Oh yeah, it's Gooden. Jared Gooden. If it was Jared Gordon, I might pick Jared Gordon, even though he'd have to go way up quite a few weight classes for that. Jared Gooden. Night Train, spelled incorrectly, N-I-T-E. So there's a reason to pick against him right there as an editor. 22-9, 11 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 1-4 in the UFC over 2 stints. He has won 2 of his last 3 fights. He's also missed weight a couple times. So that's something to keep an eye on. Fighters that miss weight do not tend to win fights, surprisingly. 40% is the hit rate for fighters who miss weight. 45% this year. So the fatties are a bit better this year. All right. Used to fight up at middleweight, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
5 inches of reach on Turman, more active landing strikes than Turman. However, he's been outstruck over his UFC career by 2.03 strikes per minute. Not a recipe for success there. +163. Turman, the prodigy. Is he still in his 20s?
I think he's like weirdly younger than we think he is.
Yeah. But yeah, he is 27, but I don't know if I call this guy a prodigy. Anyhow, I'll read you his resume. You listener or viewer, you decide if this guy's a prodigy. 18-7, 4 knockouts, 8 submissions. As I'm all over the place, I got ants in my pants here trying to get my chair comfortable. All right, 18-7, 4 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 3-5 in the UFC. He has lost 2 straight. Before that, he won 2 straight. Used to fight up at bantamweight, not bantamweight, up at middleweight. I got Jared Gooden on my mind. Or Gordon, 3 years younger than Mr. Gooden. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.83 strikes a minute. Better grappling stats than Gooden, -205. Obviously, Turman is the pick, not just because he's a prodigy, but Jared Gooden, not good. Not good, Dan. Turman has kind of shown the prodigy type. He's shown some skills that would make you think maybe this guy could be a prodigy, but you know, he's never really put it together, but he's better than Jared Gooden.
I think if you put all of his skills together and you stack all of them on top of each other, I think you're right. I think he's better than Jared Gooden. He's better jiu-jitsu than Jared Gooden. He has better technical striking most of the time than Jared Gooden. And I just don't think it's going to matter.
I knew a butt was going to come. Yeah, here comes the butt part.
Here's the thing. Jared Gooden hits really hard. You have to give him that. Yeah, and Wellington Turman does not have the ability to take the fight to the ground where he's this best. He's not a good wrestler. He's not a good wrestler in any sense of the word. He is good at jiu-jitsu. He's got very good jiu-jitsu. But if you look at his grappling stats, and I pulled them up because I just wanted to point out how bad they were. Fought Randy Brown. Let's see. 0-6 trying to take Randy Brown down. He fought Andre Petroski. He shot only 3 takedowns in that one. He failed at taking down Misha Cirkunov on 3 attempts. He did get Sam Alvey down twice. Out of nine attempts to take down Sam Alvey, he got him down twice. We're talking about a dude who has bad wrestling, like very bad wrestling, and not for anything. Jared Gooden, sort of a good defensive wrestler because he is so big. Because like if you go back and you look at his fight, yeah, he gave up a bunch of takedowns to Carlston Harris, but like he himself defended a couple of takedowns from Randy Brown. In fact, he was better at defending takedowns than Wellington Turman was. I don't think he's a better offensive wrestler. I don't think he's better at jiu-jitsu. I don't think his technical boxing is better, but I think he throws hammers, and I think Wellington Turman is hittable. And so when you get dog money on that, I'm just going to throw this out here too. Wellington Turman's record of wins in the UFC is so bad. Like, have you seen the list of dudes he's beat? He's got 3 wins in the UFC.
Yeah, there's a lot of fighters like that here, so I really don't remember what his are. But yeah, when doing research for this, basically – some of these fighters will only beat people who are retired at this point.
Marcus Perez is his number one win. He beat Marcus Perez, Misha Cirkunov.
I remember that guy.
He was the guy with the Joker paint on his face.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah, that guy. And then he beat Sam Alvey and Misha Cirkunov both on like 72 fight losing streaks. So like those are his wins. And like most of them are by like somebody. I mean, not most of them because two of them are by decision. But like the Cirkunov one was just by like Cirkunov shooting a dumb takedown and getting armbarred. So I'm going to take Jared Gooden. I think he just keeps it on the feet. I think he blasts him with one big heavy hammer and that's all he needs to do.
You forgot though that he's not good.
I do know that. I'm very aware
in the UFC because they needed someone last minute. That's the only reason he's back in the UFC.
True, but he also let's look at his only win in the UFC. He beat Nicholas Stolta. Again, not a good guy. the Green Mask, if you remember the Green Mask, but with a big knockout, with a big one-punch knockout. And if you look at Randy Brown and Andre Petrovsky didn't knock Wellington Turman out, but Bruno Silva and Andrew Sanchez did KO him. And that to me, like we're talking about a guy who's got more power than Andrew Sanchez for sure.
Yep. It's true. Wellington Turman's not very good either. So, all right, let's talk about another fight. A couple of, one of the fighters you people don't know, light heavyweights, Rodolfo Bellotto, not Bellator, Bellator minus the R, Bellotto versus Ihor Pachiera, the duelist. Someone in the Discord said that's one of the worst nicknames around. Let's talk about Ihor, 20-4 is his record as a pro, 9 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, 1-2 in the UFC, loss via TKO is only his last fight. His only win has come against Mauricio Shogun Hua. 1-0 on Contender Series. He's fight up at heavyweight. Was a regional champion. Has been outstruck over his Contender Series and UFC fights by a strike a minute. 1.08 strikes a minute to be exact. He's at +300. Bellotto, traitor. He's another traitor. Dan, we have Brazil and their tractors. It's a thing, eh?
They love him. They love him. They love guys who are tractors.
This guy's a tractor as well. He's 11-2, 6 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, so he's been finished both of his losses. This is his UFC debut. He's won 3 straight fights in 6 of 7. He won his last fight via TKO, 1-1 on the Contender Series. His last win was on the Contender Series. He's got 2 kicks at the can there. Was a regional champion. Striking and active striking stats better than Plachiera, better grappling stats as well. He's outstruck his Contender Series opponents by about half a strike a minute. He's at +0.49. And on the board, -400, a huge favorite. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Bellotto. I don't know necessarily that I love betting a Contender Series guy who is 1-1 on Contender Series at -400. But I will say his loss was to Vitor Petrino. And Vitor Petrino has now proven to me that he's like an actual guy. While I wanted to write him off as like maybe not being that good, like he's now proven he is really good. And not for anything, Bellotto was beating him in that fight. He himself had knocked down Petrino once with a shot. And he's actually probably a little bit better at jiu-jitsu than he is at boxing, but he had knocked down Petrino with a shot at one point in time. I worry a little bit about his cardio here and there. It's not particularly great. He won his last fight by having better cardio than a guy who has terrible cardio, but there's still some like cardio questions for him with me. But on the other hand, like, Pautiera did not look good in his last fight. He really looked super hittable, super controllable. I mean, I think Bellotto is just going to, I mean, if he wants to use his grappling, he should be able to do that. I could also see him throwing that big right hand repeatedly until one of them lands on Pautiera. Like he's just going to be faster and stronger and pretty much better in every place. So that's why you see the numbers so wide. And I think Bellotto's the guy.
Yeah, I'm taking him as well here. Can't really add much to what you said there. Pachiera, not very good. And another guy who I'm saying not very good. What was your opinion on Bellotto after his last Contender Series fights? I don't remember, obviously.
I just think I think the guy he fought, what was it? Mirzada Talha or something to that effect. I think he fought a guy who, when we handicapped him, and I remember handicapping him on Contender Series, he doesn't have good cardio, and I thought his cardio would potentially run out. I can't remember even who I actually picked in that fight, but I was like, Tall's cardio is super questionable, and there's a good chance it runs out. And it just kind of looked like he quit in there, and that shows you something about Bellotto, because I had cardio questions about him, and now he's able to at least assuage them and show that they're like a little bit better than somebody else. I'll be honest, like Vitor Petrino's run in the UFC has given me more confidence than anything Rodolfo Bellotto has done for himself. You know, just knowing that Bellotto fought that well against Petrino, and so far, nobody in the UFC has fought that well against Petrino, right? Like, that's the toughest test we've seen on Petrino. And he just, he just beat Modestus Bukauskas. Like, that's that's crazy that Bellotto looked better than Modestus Bukauskas. So, yeah, I mean, like, Poitier should be a huge step down for him.
All right. Good enough for me. Hopefully it's good enough for all the people there as well. I got to tell you about our friends at Underdog Fantasy now. Don't I, Gumby? Is that what's going to show up on the screen? There it is.
You do. Look at that.
Underdog Fantasy. I don't have to. I want to tell you about the people at Underdog Fantasy. I just completed my Underdog Fantasy NBA article for Thursday's game. So check that out. By the time you listen to this, it should be on the site, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football. Simply pick, and MMA, of course. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. My favorite Underdog pick'em for today's show is, should I give you one of mine? No, I'll make him read my article. Give him one of yours, Gumby.
Oh, you're going to admit, you put me on the spot. So
you always do Underdog.
Yeah. So this will this be out by, I'm trying to think if this will be out by the time. Let's go with, we'll go with a Thursday pick just in case this isn't out by the Wednesday basketball games, because it probably won't be. I like the over on Terry Rozier's points with LaMelo banged up. I think Terry Rozier is probably going to have to take over for the Hornets. And they have the higher than sitting at 20.5 right now for Thursday. So I think he probably goes higher than 20.5.
Who are they playing?
They are playing Brooklyn.
Okay. Possibly then. Watch along. If you really want to watch Charlotte and Brooklyn, watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. And we are brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching and start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Let's keep our winning picks going with featherweights. Steve Garcia versus Melky Costa. I'm going to call him Melky. I'm not going to say his full name. It's Melquizel, right?
Melquizel.
Or Melk. So we got the meme machine. We'll tell you about him first. He's Mr. Garcia. He's 14-5 with 11 knockouts. He's got some power for a small weight class, a lightweight class. He's been knocked out once, submitted once, 4-2 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights and 3 of 4. All of those past 3 wins have come via TKO. He's fought up at lightweight and down at bantamweight, 1 no in contender series, 5-2 in Bellator, 2013 pro MMA debut, 2 inches height, 4 inches of reach on Costa. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 2.24 strikes per minute, plus 190. Melky Costa. Melk Coffee is the nickname. Do we ever get to the bottom of what that means?
I think it's just his name in like weird shortened form.
Oh, yeah. He's 20-6, 7 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 1-1 in the UFC. He's won 3 of his last 4, including his last fight. He, just like Garcia, used to fight down at bantamweight and up at lightweight. Was a regional champion, 4 years younger than Garcia. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes than Garcia. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 2.5 strikes a minute. 2.58 is the exact number. Minus 245. I guess it's my turn. this is a number that surprised me. Didn't know the line was going to be like this. And I originally was going in on Costa, but as I'm reading over the stuff and I'm thinking about how the lines don't really line up for me, and I think about all the power that Garcia has, I'm going to go with the Dogger. I think Garcia is worth the 2-1 money that you're going to get for him. So give me the Mean Machine at plus 190.
We are going to be on opposite sides of every fight, I think.
I thought this would be Mean Machine for you.
No, and I told you, I like a lot of dogs on this one. Mean Machine isn't one of them. I like Steve Garcia a lot, and to your point, he's got great power. He's fighting a shoot-to-box guy. You don't knock out shoot-to-box guys. They don't go down. And Melk has kind of shown that, right? Like, he's just sort of one of those dudes who marches forward. He throws at incredible pace. And in his last fight, he showed he's a really great wrestler. And I know the wrestling stats kind of don't bode out for him. But remember that his first fight was a short-notice fight in Brazil, up a weight class against Thiago Moises, who is a grappler by trade, and he scored a whole bunch of takedowns on him. If you take that fight away, give him a full camp, and look at his only fight down at featherweight in the UFC, he manhandled Austin Lingo. And Austin Lingo is a pretty big featherweight too in the bat. So like, for Melk to go in there and just absolutely, kind of take it to Lingo, because it wasn't just the grappling. He he outstruck him 100-30 or something like that in that fight. Like, Melk just comes with a pace that I don't know Garcia can match. I know Garcia, when he's kind of like run into trouble striking, has just like gone to his wrestling. I don't think that's an option here. I think there's a chance he winds up on his back. Even though he sort of comes from a more of a wrestling background. At least I think he was a high school wrestler, if I'm remembering correctly. I just think Melk is going to put a pace on him he's not going to be able to match. I think he's a little bit more technical. I think he's a little bit more durable, and I think he's got a little bit more wrestling. So I'm going to go with Melk here.
You just reminded me why I was picking Acosta to begin with, Dan. But
he's a shoot-to-box guy. You don't pick against shoot-to-box.
apparently I do, just with my gut. So we'll see how that goes. All right, lightweights. Drakkar Klose versus Joe Selecki. I'll tell you about Selecki first. 13-3, one knockout, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out once, so pretty durable. 5-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight, last one via submission. 1-0 in Contender Series. 5 years younger than Klose. Or Klose, if you want to talk German. He's got better grappling stats, and he's got a positive strike differential in UFC of 0.71 strikes per minute. He's at plus 107. Klose, 13-2-1 with 5 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. 7-2 in the UFC. He also has won 2 straight in 5 of 6. However, he's not fought since July of 2022. Was a regional champion, twice more active than Selecki landing strikes. He's got a positive strike differential of 0.94 strikes per minute, and he's at minus 132. Go ahead.
I'm going with Drakkar Klose. I think he's one of those guys who's kind of like criminally underrated in terms of the UFC. Like you mentioned, he's won 5 of 6. The losses to Beneil Dariush, and he had Beneil Dariush damn near knocked out in that fight. Like we very closely could be talking about Drakkar Klose on a 6-fight winning streak that would include, first of all, one of the guys in the main events this weekend in Beneil Dariush. And second of all, that win streak also has a guy in the co-main event in Bobby Green, because he beat Bobby Green too with like pace and size. And he's a big bodied lightweight who knows how to use it and is pretty sharp on the feet. Does he have crazy finishing power? No, not really. Like not being able to put Beneil Dariush out there, maybe no shame in that because Beneil is kind of durable, but like his numbers don't bode out for being like a big finisher, but I don't think he has to beat Joe Selecki, right? Like, it's pretty clear where Joe Selecki is best in his game, right? Like we're not breaking any new ground here saying that like Joe Selecki wants to grapple you if he has the option. And I don't know that I buy that he has enough of a wrestling advantage here against Drakkar Klose that will be a sustainable game plan. And on the feet, I don't think he's better. I think Drakkar Klose is going to outbox him. I think there's a lot of things that Drakkar Klose does, particularly working the body occasionally, that I think will bother Joe Selecki and sort of wear him out. And I don't think Joe's gonna be able to finish him in there. So yeah, give me Drakkar Klose.
Yeah, I'm taking him as well. His inactivity is a bit of an issue. As he said, he was putting together a really, really nice streak there, and then he hasn't been fighting very often. He got hurt in a weigh-ins and ended up being out 2 years after that. Jeremy Stevens gave him a spinal injury in the weigh-in. So, but still, I'm taking him here. Selecki, that, like you said, he relies on the grappling to win fights, and Close is a pretty solid grappler. Plus he should have the strength and the physicality advantage over his opponent here. So Close is our pick. All right. Middleweight. Zach.
He's also got the, about to have a baby bump that, he's going to have a kiddo pretty darn soon. So yeah.
Cast iron Courtney Casey is pregnant. I did not realize that.
Yes. That's why we haven't seen her in a minute.
She should be Courtney Casey Closa. Wouldn't that be an amazing name?
that would be pretty good.
Cast iron Courtney Casey Closa. All right. Middleweights. Zach Reese versus Cody Brundage. Cody Brundage taking some strays. Well, actually, it wasn't strays. He was taking straight shots straight to the dome in our Discord. Cody Brundage is 9-5, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 3-4 in the UFC, 1-3 over his last 4. His win can be a DQ in his last fight. 0-1 on the Contender Series. So he's good at losing. Used to fight at light heavyweight, was a regional champion, better grappling stats than Reese. Brundage has been outstruck by 0.83 strikes per minute, plus 180. Do you know who he's married to? Speaking of fighters married to other fighters,
Amanda Bobby Cooper.
Yes, ABC is now ABB, not as fun. all right, Reese Savage is a nickname. He doesn't, no play on Reese's pieces, Reese's peanut butter cups. He's just Savage. He gives himself a generic MMA name at like Savage instead, so lame. All right. 6-0, Reese is 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. So he's finished everyone. So he must be a savage. Dana White probably gave him this nickname. This is his debut after going 1-0 on the Contender Series. 4 inches of height, 5 inches of reach on Brundage. So he is much bigger. Almost 4 times more active landing strikes. We're basing this off of one fight for him. He did get outstruck in that fight by 2.43 strikes a minute. He's at -230. It shows what the books think of Cody Brundage. I can't pick Cody Brundage here. I don't barely even remember Reese from Contender Series, but I can't pick Cody Brundage here. Give me Reese. Hopefully he's got a bigger MMA, not only a bigger body, but a bigger MMA brain than Brundage has, which shouldn't be too hard.
I can pick Cody Brundage.
You're picking Cody Brundage. You hinted in the Discord, like you always want to pick him, but he's so dumb in fights, but now you're picking him. Okay.
He's made a lot of bad decisions, right? Like jumping guillotine 31 times in a row, never a good decision. And he did that it against enough
never to take him again.
He did it against Rodolfo, which was maybe the worst choice. And then he did it a bunch versus Dumas, Cedricus Dumas. And like all of those things are bad. His loss his win over Jacob Malkin certainly didn't instill confidence in him for me either. But here's the thing about Cody Brundage. Cody Brundage is two things. Number one is he's a good wrestler. I think we can all agree that like when he decides to be offensive with his wrestling, he's good with it. He's got a big right hand too. He can knock somebody out. We've seen him knock people out before with one big shot. Was it Dolce Lugiambula he knocked out? Like, he can go knock a guy out if he needs to. Zach Reese in his Contender Series fight, incredibly hittable by a much shorter opponent who then wrestled him and took him to the ground. Now, obviously the problem on Contender Series for Zach Reese was he went for an armbar, and not only did Ellie Aronoff not get his arm out of there, he actively put his arm further into the armbar. He actively put his arm further into the armbar, being like, no, please take this with you. Could I see Cody Brundage doing exactly that? Maybe. But nevertheless, I think he's a little smarter in top control. I actually think his hands are a little bit better. And the thing about Zach Reese is, go ahead and look at his record. Has he ever made it out of the first round? Do we know what it would look like if Cody Brundage wrestled him for 5 minutes? What kind of gas Zach Reese would have in the second? I think he'd be pooped. I think he wouldn't be able to keep up that kind of pace, especially with a big frame like that. So I think there's just too many variables for me to like Zach Reese. What'd you say the number on Zach Reese was?
It's way too high. -230.
Yeah,
I think so winners though.
So we can get Cody Brundage. You just took Steve Garcia a second ago. if we can get Cody Brundage at 2-1, give me Cody Brundage at 2-1. I believe in Cody Brundage fighting a smart fight. I want that on record. I believe in Cody Brundage fighting a smart fight.
All right. Well, yeah. This is going to be fun watching this unfold as we know it's going to unfold. on Saturday. Okay, let's go to our main event. A mom versus mom fight. We got some mom on mom action in the main event of the prelims. Women's bantamweight, Misha Tate versus Julia Avila. Tate, Cupcake is a nickname, a famous nickname for her. 19-9, 4 knockouts, 7 submissions. She's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. 6-6 in the UFC and was the champion for a short while. She's lost 2 straight fights, only won 1 of her last 5. And she beat, her one win was against a fighter almost as old as I am. She has not fought since July of 2022. She's not won since July of 2021. Used to fight at flyweight, 6-2 in Strikeforce, and the champion of the world there as well until Ronda Rousey came around. Was the regional champion as well, so she's got a big mantle for sure. 2007 pro MMA debut. Also is a grappling bronze medalist, silver medalist in world championships in grappling. One of the two. And she's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.49 strikes per minute. She's at plus 118. The Raging Panda, Julia Avila, 9-2, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been knocked out once, 3-1 in the UFC, won her last fight via submission. That was back in June of 2021 before she became Mama Panda. Has not lost a fight since September of 2020. 1-0 Invicta, was regional champion, 2012 pro MMA debut. Inch height, 3 inches of reach, 2 years younger than Tate. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes than Tate. And she has outstruck her UFC opponents by 0.32 strikes a minute. She's at minus 148. All right, finish it off for us.
I'm going Tate. I'm going to go with Cupcake Tate in this fight. First of all, I recognize the age question, right? Like the age question on Misha Tate, is she washed? Man, that seems like the question we ask every single week about somebody, right? Is she or he washed? Is Jessica Andrade washed? We asked if Derek Brunson was washed, and look at what we said about both of those two afterwards. Nope, they're not. They're both still pretty good. I actually still think Misha Tate's pretty good, but more importantly than that, this is kind of a fade on Julia Avila. She's been away for a really long time, and I hate bringing this into the handicap, but it's wrong not to mention it. Have we ever seen somebody come back from having a kid and look good in their first fight back?
Mackenzie Dern?
She looked terrible in her first fight back.
Yeah.
And then in second or third fight, she started to find her legs again, put together a nice run. You could say the same thing about Nina Nunez / Nina Ansaroff. Like, she looked awful in her first fight back, started to figure it out after that. And I don't want to use that as like the primary source of the reason to fade her, but also like she's never been really good at defending takedowns, right? She's never been good against a physical fighter. Sajara Eubanks manhandled her. And Sajara Eubanks, well, at least she thought she was a flyweight. She wasn't really a flyweight.
No.
But like Misha Tate, that path to victory is there for her, right? Like she could grapple her up. I think her timing's going to be better because Avila's been away for so long. And like, you know, again, hate to beat that drum again, but just like 2 years off after having a kid and trying to get herself back in there, it hasn't gone well for other fighters. Maybe she's the one who bucks that trend, but I just don't think she's going to be.
Yeah, I'm going to take Avila regardless. I don't have much faith in Tate. She's been off forever as well and has barely fought over the past decade, pretty much. I don't know how Avila's going to look, obviously. I know what she's going to look, but based on when she fought before, she's going to be a better striker, a more powerful striker than Tate. And she's an okay grappler. She doesn't rely on her grappling to win fights. She's not the worst grappler in the world. She can handle herself there, but I think it's on the feet is where it's going to be won. So give me the mommy, as in Avila mommy, not the other mommy, as in Misha Tate. All right, let's recap. Not a lot of consensus here, which is you, that's fine. You got both sides of the story that way. He's got Tate, I got Avila. I have Reese, he has Brundage. We both have close stuff. So there you go. Lock that one in. I switched last minute and took Garcia. He took Costa. Both have Bellotto. You can lock that one in as well. I have Turman, he has Gooden, and we both have Horth. So lock Jimmy Lynn Horth in as well, because we're what, about 61%, I think 62% when we have a consensus pick. So that's career of the podcast. So it's quite a long time. We're almost at 500 episodes. All right, that's it. We're gonna be back very, very shortly in your eyes holes and ear holes, your choice, either or both if you choose. That will be tomorrow when we do the main card. In the meantime, we will be in the Discord. We're always in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, or you can message us, or at the very least, check out our content on Twitter. That would be what's the Twitter account? SGPN MMA would be it. Also Gumby Vreeland and Jeff Fox Writer. I'm on Twitter and Instagram under that handle. Obviously, subscribe to our YouTube channel. But we need to get our subscribers up. So subscribe, even if you don't watch us, at least subscribe from all your YouTube accounts. Just look for the MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube. Subscribe to my Substack as well. Even if you just want to subscribe to the free tier, that is fine. The free tier will get you into my free pick 'em contest that I give away prizes for every week. So that would be moneymma.substack.com. You can get more gummy in your ears for free as well. The Top Turtle MMA Podcast hasn't dropped into my feed yet, Gumby. Is it out there yet? Are you being lazy?
It will probably drop at the exact same time as this podcast. You'll catch interviews with the Mean Machine, Steve Garcia, who we talked about on here, and Aryan Young, who is on the LFA episode we talked about earlier this week.
Yep. Listen to us first, and then, well, obviously, if you're listening to this now,
it's too late to tell you
what. Yeah, or too late to tell you what to listen to first. You chose right, though. And obviously, the mothership for all Gumby and my writing and all the rest of our huge staff's writing, all their podcasts, all their giveaways, all their discounts, all that good stuff is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com or sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Get in there and help us crush corporate gambling. Okay, we'll be back very, very soon. It'll be Mean Machine, Jeff Fox, and of course, Traitor Gumby Vreeland will be there as well. Bye.